RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Sunny Spring Smelling Val and
ooh, that sounds like a meadow.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful today.
Beans.
had a couple of beautiful days this week, and today is the most gorgeous day of the year. So we had a couple of 70 degree days in January, but today is just amazing.
Well, that's good. It's nice here too.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff to talk about today. Want to get right into it.
Okay.
I want to talk about this stimulus bill, which
sure.
I read.
It certainly is stimulating.
Yeah. Stimulates my anger is what it does. It's been an interesting experience over the past couple of days with this thing. Because first, they redid the whole thing, right? Because there was all that Democrat nonsense in there about, you know, voting and all that nonsense. So they redid it. And then the Senate had a bill and the House had a bill. The House redid their bill and the Senate pretty much kept theirs the same from what I could tell. So everybody was talking about these new drafts, all these reporters, and the Senate and the Congress didn't release them to the public. So I spent most of the day demanding that we get to see these things before they vote on them, because otherwise what the hell kind of nonsense is that? So finally, a reporter, Phil Kirpin, shared the link to, he uploaded them to Google Drive for everybody, because I was like, give us the damn things. So he uploaded them to Google Drive and he shared them. And then I went live and I did like after the podcast, I think it was on Wednesday. What was yesterday? Thursday? Yeah.
It was Wednesday. I remember you going live.
Yeah. So it was like almost 3 hours I was live reading through this, like for the first time with everybody. I hadn't read any of it at all. And I read like, I don't know how many pages. And then I shut it down and I read the rest on my own. And then late at night at probably around 10 o'clock or 10:30, they came out with the merging that they are voting on. So they merged the House bill that was fixed with the Senate bill, merged them together. And it was 880 pages. So
nice little novel.
Yeah. You know, so I started reading them. Oh, Boris Johnson tests positive for coronavirus.
I'm sure his pet fish did, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as we keep him away from that cleaner, we'll be good. Right.
Yes.
So anyway, long story short, I read the thing and I started doing a thread on some of the nonsense that was in there. And it was annoying to me because of this bill, of the $2 trillion, there was maybe $500 million in there for small business loans and grants and individual unemployment. And the rest of it was funding Indians, billions of dollars to Indians, and funding government agencies that have already been funded. You know, why does the Department of Defense need billions more dollars? You know, there's billions going to the Army, billions going to the Navy, billions going to the National Guard. Like that, I guess you could kind of like say, okay. But then like there's billions to inspector generals, billions to the salaries for the Small Business Administration, billions. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's just sick. It's gross. It made me feel gross. I was like, these people are absolute losers. This is disgusting. Everybody should be ashamed that we place our trust in such incompetent morons. And it wasn't just Democrats, guys. The Senate bill, which granted they're kind of on an even footing in the Senate right now because there's five members not there. But the Senate bill was the one that had all the funding for the government department. So there's that. Now, I want to pull it up. And we can go through some of it because I think it's important that people understand what's in here. And I haven't stopped screaming about it. Now, to be fair, I did also do a piece yesterday explaining how this bill helps small business. And we're going to go through that, too, if it's OK with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
OK, so there was one thing in here that really got me a little bit confused. And it was on page 151. And it had to do with people who were filing. People who were filing for unemployment. There's language in here that says, like, you obviously, in order to file for this, you need to have a social security number because you need to be legal.
Well, but that's a start.
Yeah. I mean, there's language in here that says if any omission of a correct valid identification number required under this subsection shall be treated as a mathematical or clerical error for purposes of applying section 6213G2 to such omission. To me, that's almost, it sounds like it's, and from what research I did, it sounds like it's like a pass. Usually they'll kick that back to you if you make an error and they won't let you submit it until they can match a social with the person. It sounds to me like they're saying, oh, we're going to treat this as a, you know, we're going to treat this.
Well, oh my God. It just so happens we have 30 million clerical errors.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's been this whole time.
Yeah. Now, as part of the stimulus, you can now be reimbursed for your menstrual care product purchases. That's in there. So if you want to go out and buy your stuff and then submit to the government under, you know, whatever plan, you can be reimbursed for that stuff now, because that's something the Democrats have been trying to do forever. So it's in there.
Okay.
Free Medicaid covered vaccines for COVID. Sunscreen has been ridiculously scrutinized in this bill. Sunscreen. There's a lot about sunscreen in here.
Why?
I have no idea. It's they have basically taken this bill to increase regulation on over-the-counter drugs and sunscreen.
All right.
In here, in this bill that is now supposed to be stimulating the economy. Okay. There is forbearance in here of your mortgage payments. It can go for at least 180 days and then there can be a 180 day extension. You can't start foreclosure proceedings against anybody during that time either. So if you have not paid or cannot pay your mortgage, they cannot come after you or penalize you for it for at least 180 days. You just have to call your mortgage company and talk to them and say you've been affected by this. They don't, you're not forgiven for those payments under this program, but they tack it on the end. So your mortgage increases by like 3 months or whatever.
My word.
So, no, that would be 3, 6, 9, 12, 5 months.
Well, I mean, see, I tend to think that I already got big utility companies reach out to us, you know, weeks ago saying that there was not going to be any service interruptions during this time, even if you were already behind in your bills. So that's what I try to bank on there is people just making decisions that will be right, you know, right decisions.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The government mandating people to not do one thing or another. From everything I've seen, people have been pretty lenient on stuff. Our landlord has reached out to us to let us know that they there are going to be provisions for maybe like prorating rent and other things. I mean, they have to come out on the other end of this too without any vacancies. So they need to pick up the pace. Everybody is connected to each other.
Yes.
So that's why I don't understand this virulent like anti-landlord stuff that's going on the internet now too.
Well,
you see that?
Yeah, I do, and we're going to touch on that portion of things too. But do you have anything that I can read or show me or no?
Oh no, it's just been trending. It's been on every kind of, not just Twitter. It's been all over the place. I've been seeing these ridiculous threads, people going back and forth about, well, you know, it's like 1917 revolution kind of stuff with the landlords. Like it's always been the landlord's fault. It's nuts.
It is nuts. It is nuts. That part of it is crazy. And what's it called? So there's that in there. And again, you know, there was an article I read this morning on Bloomberg that came out and it said, you know, woman in Detroit can't sanitize herself properly because her water was shut off. And it basically goes in and says one of the side damages of losing your water supply during this crisis is that you can't wash your hands. And she's been without water for a very long time. And now she's saying, you know, she's basically saying like, oh, if only I had my water, I would be able to wash my hands. And, You know,
if only Chicago, Illinois had a functioning government. You know, what do you? Detroit. You said Detroit, Michigan. That's another bad one. That's even worse than Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, worse than Cleveland. And it's you know, this is just cookie cutter nonsense all over the place. The water is off. I can't wash my hands. Well, before COVID-19, Detroit has had generational problems because of the types of governments you have are running and the kind of mindset you have over there.
I'm looking for the article here to find it. It was this morning on Bloomberg. And I can't find it now, but. It was just stupid. Like, there was no need to write it. It wasn't a problem. You know what I mean? Like, it was, they acknowledge that like less than 2% of the people in the country have this problem, but they're going to dedicate an entire article to it to fearmonger. But anyway, that's an aside from the virus.
Well, Washington Post went after some random guy's mother. You saw that?
No.
This 56-year-old, I was thinking to myself, okay, I forget what his name, somebody McMillan. And Washington Post, a senior editor there, actually. Let me see where the hell I put it. Here it is. Washington Post, senior editor, Mark Fisher. Here was a tweet that was attached to his article over there at the Post. Scott McMillan, a 56-year-old lawyer, tweeted that it's more vital to revive the economy than to save people who are, quote, not productive, like the elderly and the infirm. So I called his parents.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the first thing I said to myself was, Mark Fisher, who the hell is this? Is he a newly targeted Trump advisor or something? He's a random guy. He just had an opinion on Twitter that people thought was offensive. Senior editor of Washington Post called up this guy's mother. Oh, my God. You want to talk about people finding crap to turn into articles.
Gosh.
And when you go and you actually look at what the guy said and you talk about it with a cool head, a cool temperament, it's actually not very controversial. He wasn't condemning people to death. He was talking about trade-offs of, you know, and it's just ridiculous.
Hold on one second. All right, we're back. Yeah, because people can't speak out, Frank. Their freedom of speech is gone. It's gone. You can't say anything on Twitter anymore. I've been through this the past couple of days. I'll explain that in a minute, too. But let's go through some money to department, shall we?
Okay.
I can't believe that. That's almost like doxing the guy who made the meme. It's almost the same thing.
I know, the CNN meme.
Yeah. Okay. Here is the Department of Homeland Security for operations and support. $178,300,000. Transportation Security Administration, $100 million. The Coast Guard operations, $140.8 million.
Yeah, thank God the TSA got some money because we know how effective they are at doing their job.
Yeah.
I brought that up last night too, ladies and gentlemen, on my show. I had to go trip through time here, Tracy, because you remember, I don't know if you saw this, but it was a combination of these articles I saw coming out of CBS Chicago about Lori Lightfoot telling people nobody can be outside. Stay inside or we're going to start arresting you in parks. We're going to have to clear out the lakefront. You cannot be outside. They're just saying out. You can't be out of your house.
That's,
period.
I would be standing in the middle of the street begging them to come.
That's number one. The other thing I saw last night is that they said that all of this. I have to get the article up, but these scientists and these experts were saying that social distancing actually might be too effective, so effective that even if we were to stay inside for 20 weeks, that's 5 months, that when we come back outside, it might relapse because we would not have been able to build herd immunity. So that so some people are saying right now that what we may have to do is on and off cycles of quarantine for an extended. Exactly.
Oh, please.
Exactly. So pretty much what they're saying is this should be the new norm, just like getting your genitals grabbed by the TSA.
Yeah. No.
You know, 2015, ladies and gentlemen, real quick before we move on with that, because they're getting $100 million more. The Los Angeles Times, of all places, were one of the outlets that reported on that DHS investigation into the effectiveness of the TSA.
Oh, yeah.
TSA, they never stopped any terrorist attack ever. But when the DHS investigated how easy it would be for their agents to get fake weapons and fake bombs onto planes, they got it through with 95% efficiency. It's all a big show, and they're getting $100 million more.
FEMA's getting some money too, Frank. They're getting about 80. They're getting $44 million for operations and support, and they're getting $45 billion in their disaster relief fund that will stay there for perpetuity. And of the amount provided, $25 billion is for major disasters declared pursuant to Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance, and $15 billion for all other purposes.
Take what you can. It's a fire sale.
Federal assistance, $400 million to remain available till next year for coronavirus. General, hold on. There's more. I didn't even get to the bad stuff. Let's move down here. The bill is here's drugs about the over-the-counter stuff. I'm just scrolling real quick. I want to make sure I find this correctly. Fees relating to over-the-counter drugs, because that's very important right now. It's so many regulations on over-the-counter drugs introduced here. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. Here's the airlines being bailed out. Very important to President Trump that we bail out the airline industry for some reason. I guess it's a big industry in the United States. He was on Sean Hannity last night. I'm going to play the clip in a second. It terrified me what he said. I'm starting to get a little bit terrified here. Let's play that right now, actually.
Okay.
I think it's this one.
Surprising, but it's scary. We watched, as I mentioned earlier, China, South Korea. You get quickly all scary, scary numbers, people contracting the disease, scary, scary numbers with all sorts of things. And all of a sudden, if the pattern holds, then it's levels and then it drops down completely. And then there's no more new cases. Are your doctors telling you every day they expect that to happen?
This wasn't it.
Well, I think we do. I mean, whether you're doctors or not, you know, I'm looking forward to that day when it levels out and then goes down. And I think we're going to have a tremendous bounce. Look at the stock market today. I think we set a 3-day record. We set a 1-day record yesterday. Today, we almost set it again. I mean, you know, the stock market's gone up tremendously over the last few days. And I think it's for two reasons, because they know that I am one that wants to get everybody back working. You know, that was important. People were saying, oh, we'll take 3 or 4 or 5 months. And everybody said 3 or 4 months. You know, our country is not designed for that. And our people aren't designed. We're not engineered for that, Sean. Everybody wants to go back to work. So, you know, people, they own a restaurant. They can't keep the restaurant closed for months. So, by the way, the sooner we go back, the better the lift that we're going to get. I think we're going to have a bounce like maybe you've never seen.
I agree with the bounce. I'm trying to find the clip where he talks about how the government, if these companies take the loans, will get stocks in the company and control the company. That terrified me. I'm like, am I misunderstanding this?
No, it should terrify you, because it's what would Milton Friedman say? Concentrated power is not rendered useless by the good intentions of those who create it. This is fascism. That's fascism.
Yeah, I know.
Take all the modern day SJW social connotations away from the word fascism. Oh, he's a fascist. It's a way that people call each other bigots these days, and just a meanie. They don't want to say meanie, so they say fascist. So take all those connotations away. The marriage of and one can say, well, Frank, this has been going on for a while. Yeah, well, it's not been this overt. For a government to say we are going to nationalize major industries across the board. The marriage between government and big corporations is fascism, okay? That you're picking winners and losers based on what the benefit to the country is going to be. That is very frightening. I don't care that it's Donald Trump supporting it. I mean, he's going to be gone in at most 5 years. And then what happens?
I know. And I'm trying to find it. And I think it's this one. Here.
Sorts of things that they, frankly, in many cases, they wouldn't have even gotten if they had the job, if we didn't have to go through this hell. And it's a wonderful thing. The problem is, and you see it all right there, it's right in front. The problem we have is that it's very, very painful dealing with the Democrats because they ask for things that they've been trying to get for 10 years. That we don't want to give, but if we don't get them, or give it, we don't get the $2 trillion that gets sent out to people, the workers, and we don't get the $2 trillion that's going to really save companies. We have a lot of this money is going to save Boeing, it's going to save the airline industry, and, you know, that means not only does it mean what it says, it also, it means tremendous jobs. We can't let Boeing go. You know, Boeing had a problem, big one, to start off with. Then on top of it, this happened. And we'll save Boeing and we'll save the airlines and we'll save other companies. We have companies that were virtually AAA, and all of a sudden you're loaning them money. You could call it a bridge loan, a short loan to get over it. In all cases, we intend getting the money back, getting interest, and in many cases, some cases, issuing what they call warrants, will get pieces of the company, large pieces of the company. And that will come back and inure to the benefit of U.S. taxpayers. I mean, they're going to be great. It's a great thing. So
no.
That's not
no.
a great thing. That's not, a great thing. What the hell is happening?
No, see, the thing is here that everybody said, well, Donald Trump's a builder. He's a builder. Well, he's thinking like a private sector investor right now.
Exactly.
And you can't think like a private sector investor right now where you're spreading your money around. You want to get pieces of companies. You want to invest in their future. You can't do that with governments. You can't do that. It's going to create. First of all, when it comes to Boeing. When it comes, and I saw that, I don't know if it's still in there for Amtrak. Is anything in there for Amtrak?
No.
Okay. Amtrak is another great example. Planes, trains, automobiles, that is something that Americans, that people need. They need public transportation. The need to get onto a plane and cross the country in a couple of hours, or to get on a plane and go on vacation or leave the country on international business. That need, that market is not going anywhere. If Boeing goes under because of one bad management decision or a generation's worth of bad management decisions, let them go under. There's going to be other people who say, we would like to scoop up this company.
That's how JetBlue got started.
Yeah, we would like to scoop this company up. We have a new vision for it. We think that we can take it in a better, bolder, more responsible direction and let somebody else come in and have a shot at it. The government should not be coming on in and saving bad businesses. It's not that Boeing itself is who cares if Boeing goes – if Boeing as it is right now goes away. Are you telling me that with Boeing will go the need to get on an airplane? That's not going to – people are going to – there's always going to be that market. We got to get out of this business of bailing out business.
I don't know. There's no other way to spin that. There's no other way to spin what he just said. There's no other way. I don't understand. Anyway, there's that. And so then I was like, okay. I was like, let me go in here and see what is in here for businesses. What is in here for people, right? What is in here that will even benefit anyone? And it's comprehensive. So there are basically four things that I found that they're giving as options to small business owners, sole proprietors, independent contractors. Even great things in there for workers who are waitresses, bartenders that work off tips. So paycheck protection loans, in quotes. Independent contractors, sole proprietors, small businesses with 500 employees or less, including companies with multiple locations in the United States, as long as there are only 500 employees or less in each location, which is not really a small business, are eligible for payroll protection. It's a deferred loan, which will cover the period of 2/15/20 through 6/30/20. And the amount that you're eligible for is calculated by looking at your payroll expenditures, utilities, mortgage, rent, et cetera, so on and so forth for your business. healthcare expenses, all that stuff, and can be up for up to $10 million. You can use it to pay for payroll, sick leave, family leave, medical leave, healthcare premiums, employee salaries, commissions, or other compensation, payments for interest on mortgages. You can't prepay your mortgage with it, but you can pay off the interest or make your mortgage payment, rent, utilities, or any interest on other debt you may have had before this happened. Hold on. Excuse me. They can be refinanced. There is no recourse for non-payment on these loans unless you take the loan and then use it to go buy like a house for yourself, right? So that means there's no recourse for the lender. The lender can't sue you. They can't put you in collections. You know what I mean? So it's not really a loan. If you choose not to pay it back, I don't know what action there is they could possibly take against you.
Well, the other thing is there that here and you say there's all this stuff here. Well, I'm counting tens of billions of dollars for departments and for other programs, much of it going to administrative costs and all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, okay, well, if you're issuing tens of billions of dollars for all this other crap and you're investing in big companies and you're doing all this stuff here, why not just, if you really want to help people out in this, yeah. I mean, instead of one lump sum payment of $1,200, why don't you put all that money together if this must be spent? Because at the end, when this is all said and done, over $6 trillion is going to have been spent already. Mm-hmm. We've already put like $2 trillion of liquidity in cash injections into the market already. You got another $2 trillion in this bill. I mean, it's not going to stop. Where quantitative easing is back forever. This is going. So I mean, and like I said before on other shows, I don't care if you put the printing presses on for $10 trillion. If at the end of all this, people start going to jail and we find ourselves transitioning into a new monetary system that is actually sane and constitutional. I don't care how you bleed the last drop of blood from this stone, as long as we start getting things we actually need, which is justice and some sanity.
I'll go with you on that one.
Yeah. Print another $4 trillion out of this fake crappy money. I don't care. Just give us what we actually need.
Agreed. Yeah. So anyway, you can pay all of that stuff with these loans. So basically what this will do is allow a small business, you know, mom and pop's restaurant on Fifth Street, right, can go and say, here, lender, here's all my documentation. This is all my payroll costs. This is what I paid last year for this employee, that employee, blah, 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 blah. And I need a loan based on this for X amount of dollars. It doesn't matter if you are credit worthy. It doesn't matter if you've been denied in the past. There's basically, this is a government backed guaranteed loan to you to keep your business running, which in turn will keep your staff on payroll, keep them from collecting unemployment, and keep that economic engine going for those months where things are a little hairy. Loan forgiveness. There is loan forgiveness for loans. Anyone who has had any customer staffing challenges, decrease in customers or receipts, or you've had to close, there is a loan forgiveness for you starting February 15th, 2020 through June 30th. It applies to the cost of payroll, interest payments, and all the stuff that I mentioned before. It also includes seasonal workers, tipped workers, as long as they had been covered, were not making more than $100,000 in 2019. But you can't receive forgiveness for employees who you fired because of COVID-19 or who were employed for you the year before. So you can't show the government, here's my payroll, but this person's not on it anymore because I fired them already, and then get that money. There are also emergency grants available. This is money you do not have to pay back. They're up for $10,000. You can get this in addition to what the other programs are to pay all of those things that I mentioned. And there is subsidy for certain loan payments. If you've gotten a loan from the SBA in the past, even if it's through another institution, there is a relief period or payment deference for those loans to extend the maturity of them, not require any balloon payments or anything like that. Then there's the individual stuff that they're offering that everybody's talking about. So if you filed your taxes and there is a bank account on file, this will automatically come to you. It will be $1,400 per individual, I believe. And then if you're a family, there's also money for your dependents in there. It's basically the standard, it looks to me anyway, like the standard deduction you get as a husband and wife or as a husband and wife with children under the current tax plan. They're just giving you more of that in form of cash right now. And then there's unemployment insurance that is being offered, backed now by the federal government instead of through the state, which is how it's usually done. So if you go, they're trying to give you unemployment insurance that literally replaces your salary. If you have ever been on unemployment before, which I have been unlucky to be on once in my life, they give you a small fraction of what you actually made, because a lot of people make, you know, a good amount of money and they can't give you that exact salary. It's just too much money. It would be overwhelmed. So they give you this bill will allow you to receive your actual paycheck while you're unemployed, plus an additional $600, which they're trying to work on getting rid of, or were anyway. But it's only valid for a certain period of time. So it's only valid max to December 31st, 2020. So you can't stay on this government unemployment dole for years. You know, it's only a short term, in quotes, thing. And I really don't think the majority of people are going to want to just sit around unemployed and not go for a job, because by the time December rolls around, hopefully, knock on wood, things will be back to normal and there won't be, you know, you may lose that job to someone who's been searching for a job for years and just couldn't get in because you were there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, there was also a job surplus in the country prior to this virus making landfall.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that it's going to take much for people to bounce back and for us to get back on the horse. But it's just, in general, the disruption and the length of time they're talking about making people shack up and stay home.
I don't understand why employers didn't just keep people on the books and pause their employment while this happened. Like, I don't understand why employers jumped to fire people.
I don't know. I wondered the same thing. I have friends that got furloughed at gyms all around the tri-state area over here, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if the entire gym is closing its doors and nobody's going to work, why was it so important to fire everybody?
Yeah.
The people who had, well-established classes, like Rob. Rob did Tai Chi, does Tai Chi to a really nice, enthusiastic group of people up in Connecticut. And he was one of my friends that were furloughed from their jobs. And it's just like, okay, well, is the gym not going to exist once all this ends?
I know. It's weird.
Is this something that that needs to be done for? Is there an accounting trick?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, is there something that benefits this company for just laying everybody? I mean, even if you're a small business, like, let's say, again, you have a small restaurant, you serve like 1,000 customers a week, 2,000 customers a week, and you have like 50 staff on your staff, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to work anywhere, right? Why in the hell would you fire those people? Like, well, you're going to need them again.
Yeah.
And now, you know, then somebody starts again. They're technically a new hire. Do they lose all their accrued vacation time that they've gotten for the 20-something years they've been working for you? Do they lose all their accrued sick time? Do they, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's some of the questions I've asked. I don't understand, because it's not like
maybe we're just not, you know, I don't. Oh, I run a relatively small business. I don't run. Yeah, I don't run a business with like 100 employees. So I don't know if there's some like reason. I wouldn't fire anybody. I just wouldn't fire. I mean, I don't get it, but whatever. That's just me. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. I don't know.
Well, and when you say that, I know what you mean, because it's not about, okay, I wouldn't fire anybody. It's not like, oh, how virtuous. What if you have to? Well, it's not a matter of my business or your business is suffering. It's a matter of the entire country in one way or another was told to sit down, close up shop and don't work.
Right.
You know, it's not even a reflection on how good or bad the businesses are.
Right. Right.
So there has to be some kind of strategy or something that is making people take these drastic measures. I don't know.
Well, hold on. Wait. So, I mean, like we said, we're in agreement on this. It's everywhere. It's not like I didn't. And oh, another thing that's included in here, too, is money for if for some reason you can't go back to work because of your kids or whatever. There's like daycare funding looped in here somehow. Childcare expense help because your kids aren't going back to school. And, you know, you need somebody to watch them so you can go to work. And I was saying to a friend of mine, like, if I were an employer and I had, gosh, I don't know, 100 employees, let's just say, small business, and 60% of the staff had kids, but we could open for business and everything was getting back to normal, but these schools decided not to reopen. I would, as an employer, figure out a way for these employees to be able to bring their kids with them to the office or allow them to change their hours, work from home. You know what I mean? I would be flexible. I wouldn't just tell these parents they're out on a limb. If you can't come in, you're screwed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
there's a solution to everything.
Depending on what kind of business it is and what kind of a scenario it is, like with education, I think that with education and certain types of businesses, they're starting to see the merits of this can be brought home, at least with higher education. Elementary school, high school, whatever, and then maybe you get yourself into a trade. But as far as college goes, I think everybody's starting to see how effective this kind of education can be from home. First of all, even without college, everything you ever need as far as information and all these information tools are at your fingertips on the internet for free.
Yeah.
So we've been getting glimpses into alternate and very effective ways of educating people. And then also there are certain types of businesses that are probably getting a pretty eye-opening experience right now of realizing that all of their office and rent and utility overhead is probably not necessary to run a business effectively if you have a staff that you trust to get on with business from home, if you don't need to be in a location. I mean, sometimes it's important to meet. But I think that there's probably a few business owners that have been able to see, okay, well, we have been able to carry on without disrupting most, if not all, of our business. And I mean, if this was normal order, I might have been able to spare myself $4,000 a month in rent.
Yeah.
There are certain. Yeah.
If you're not making something with your hands, right?
Exactly. Exactly. If you're not a gym owner, you know, down the hall from us in the building, there's so many types of people in our building where the studio is. Down the hall from us, there's a Taekwondo school. I'd have to imagine that they're going to have a hard time for the next few months because nobody's going to want to send their children to go sweat in a small room with 15 right. other people.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I mean, it's always going to change.
Yeah. All right. You're right. So there is an article that came out in Breitbart that I saw the other day. Someone sent to me. The title is "Professors Worry Their Bias Will Be Exposed by Online Classes."
Oh, yeah. Campus reform. I love this one, too. I brought that up a couple of nights ago, and I want to bring it up again tonight with the guest I have coming on my show tonight. And Tracy, it's so amazing. You ask yourself, well, why would they be worried? They don't want their lectures. They don't want to be able to provide their curriculum to people in some kind of a digital way, even if the videos are unlisted, because it could still be shared and it could be easily disseminated amongst white right wing groups. And what would that mean if your curriculum is so good and undeniably based in reality and in logical thinking? How the hell could anybody go out there and make a stink about it? So I love how these professors are starting to get worried that people are going to see just how radical their curriculum is.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. And then I have a couple clips to play, too, Frank. Not that scary stuff. Oh, yeah. So I spoke out against this bill really quickly. I really did very strongly speak out against it. because I think it's horrible. Just so that everybody knows, today, Thomas Massie is planning on causing a big hubbub with this and I guess causing a recorded vote rather than just a voice vote because he's so opposed to it. He says in a tweet, $2 trillion Congress, $4 trillion Fed and Treasury, $6 trillion stimulus, $6 trillion divided by 350 million citizens is $17,000 per citizen times a family of four, $68,000 per family of new national debt and dollar devaluation in the stimulus. Not a good deal. I don't disagree with Thomas Massie. I'm sorry. And the president just came out and, you know, everybody's yelling at me like, oh, how could you jump off the Trump train? I'm not jumping off the Trump train. I'm just pointing out things that are just blatantly, they're not good. I'm sorry. Like, this is it. The facts are the facts. Like, whether you're backed into a corner or not, these are not good things. I like, they're just not. President Trump put out a tweet about him this morning, and it really kind of bothered me a little bit because, yeah, I know we need this money to get the economy, blah, 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 blah. I know. Thomas Massie is not my favorite person in the world, but he says this, listen, looks like a third-rate grandstander named Thomas Massie, a congressman from unfortunately a truly great state, Kentucky, wants to vote against the new Save Our Workers bill in Congress. He just wants the publicity. He can't stop it, only delay, which is both dangerous and costly. Workers and small businesses need money now in order to survive. Virus wasn't their fault. It is hell dealing with the Dems. Had to give up some stupid things in order to get the big picture done. 90% great. Win back the House. But throw Massie out of the Republican Party by empowering the radical Democrats. Do nothing. Kentucky politician Massie is making war, their war on the Second Amendment, more and more difficult to win. But don't worry, we will win anyway. He's a disaster for America and for the great state of Kentucky.
Jeez.
What in the hell are you doing?
I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And if this bill is 90% great, what the hell would a 100% great bill look like if there's a Republican majority in the Congress? What is that going to be? A conservative windfall? Oh, my God.
I think a lot of Americans are going to stand up in favor of Thomas Massie today.
I hope so. And I hope that there is a Congress. I hope that if we ever do see a changing of the guard in the House of Representatives, I hope that it is not just a small little Liberty caucus in there. I hope that the Liberty movement and the Liberty caucus in the House becomes the predominant voice one day so that these bills are never even considered.
I can't. Yeah. You know, listen, here's the thing. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are getting angry with me in particular for saying all this stuff the past couple of days. But you got to call a spade a spade. You know, we are not like, you know, we're allowed to have opinions that don't go and fall 100% in lockstep with the president of the United States and still support the president of the United States. Like, there is no way on God's green earth I would vote for anyone else. But this was unnecessary, in my opinion. I'm allowed to have one. That's why I'm here in this country.
Yeah, well, the lambasting of Thomas Massie is unnecessary.
Yeah, that exactly.
As far as the bill goes, I've said it before. I mean, every spending bill, the whole nature of the omnibus bills, these giant bills with 10,000 little bills inside of it, is unconstitutional, and it predates Donald Trump by many decades.
Yes.
So this I don't discount what kind of culture he is operating under, where if Donald Trump doesn't do this, especially a guy who's seeking re-election in 7 months, if he doesn't do this and go outside the bounds and of whatever the hell kind of precedent has made in the past to go above and beyond and win people over and really try to put everything on the line to get us through what I do believe in some respect is completely manufactured.
Agreed.
Okay.
I agree with everything you're saying.
He understands he needs to go above and beyond right now, and people are going to appreciate it. The fact that ABC, Washington Post, is for the first time is showing that the approval to disapproval ratings of the president is swung toward approval, 48% to 44%. Oh my God! If that's the Washington Post, ABC, so he has to do certain things, or politically he will be. It's not a time for anybody to go up there and say the Constitution dictates this, and I'm limited in this way in a crisis like this. at least a crisis that's been manufactured in the media, not to say that the virus is fake.
Yeah, but that's the problem, Frank. That's when all this crap goes.
Exactly. So I understand why he has to do what he has to do. But at the same time, you don't have to go after Thomas Massey.
Look,
there should be somebody out there giving some kind of, opinion that's different.
Yeah. And you know what's going to happen now? I know it's delaying this and everything. And I get it. And I understand. Like, listen, again, I have a small business. I'm a sole proprietor. So I'm in the same boat as, and you too, Frank. We're in the same boat as a lot of people out there in terms of that. I understand how it is. I get it. I understand. But my point here is everybody is paying attention to Thomas Massey right now. And he's going to say this bill is now making your family, because of whoever it was that decided to put this pork in here, whatever he decides to say, your family is now owing $67,000 to the federal government or to the economy, whatever, because Nancy Pelosi needed $25 million for the house and raises. And she, we're funding the Harvard University whatever one in D.C. I forget the one we're funding for X amount of dollars. And he's going to make a point and then it's going to pass. And it's also going to force everybody to be there to pass it. So I don't know. Just my opinion. Again, I mean, you don't have to agree with me. I'm sure I'll get a bunch of angry emails after this because people were saying yesterday, Frank, people were saying to me on Twitter, like, oh, you're stop thinking about just your fame and money. And I'm like, my fame and money? I'm freaking alienating 3/4 of the people out here who are trusting the plan, whatever the plan is. I'm not sure, but they're trusting the plan. And I'm saying that this is ridiculous. And how am I concerned about fame and money? If anything, the opposite would be true. I'd just be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
well, there's two things on that. Number one, I would be totally fine with whatever. Like I said, whatever's happening right now, if I actually saw that there was rumblings and real work being made to eliminate the IRS, eliminate the Federal Reserve, and go to something easier, a flat tax, something like that, just to make things easy and to make things stable for once and nationalize our money. But the second thing, though, which you brought up, whether it be fame or whatever the hell else, people like you and I are fortunate. It's been about a year and a half since I've had to be dependent on personal training and being on out there and to be able to pay my bills, that I work in a digital field now. For the most part, that doesn't protect any of it. What we've been talking about, everything is connected here. If everything tanks and people are not at work, then they don't have discretionary funds
to give to us, right?
To support media that they like. I mean, our businesses are all based on voluntary exchange. There's nobody making provisions that are forcing people. When you go to a you sign up for some kind of a triple play plan for Optimum, you're immediately paying money toward channels you're never going to watch. So we're all interconnected here. Just because some of us are able to work a little bit longer while everybody else is forced to stay home doesn't mean that we're not all on the same sinking ship. If everybody tanks, then everybody goes down, because there's a lot of businesses out there, and very vital businesses, if you ask me, that are able to grow and sustain itself on discretionary funds that people are going to lose if they're not working for months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's ridiculous that having opinions in such a tumultuous time could equate to being a fame whore, unless you're Mike Cernovich. That guy's fucking nuts.
It's funny. I've heard Bongino mention him a couple times over the past couple days, and I'm like, why now? Times. Like, he's been around forever.
I just realized I said the F word.
What? I didn't even realize it. Whatever. Here's some clips of some positive stuff that's coming out, though. Let's end the show. I don't think this was overall negative. I just think it was true. Okay. Which sucks. I tweeted this morning, too. There are people, even conservatives, who are working hard to keep you terribly frightened and even ignoring the recent data about mortality rate, etc. It's terrible. I'm stunned right now. This was at 8:53, 2 hours ago to the minute. It already has 1,100 retweets and almost 3,000 likes. That apparently is something that a lot of people are feeling today.
It is. Well, you want to know something? I look at this over here in my town. yesterday was a beautiful day. It looks like today is going to be even more beautiful. The parks are filled with people that I would have never seen on other late March afternoons. It just, people are out. They are walking their dogs. They're jogging. They're at the park.
Yeah.
People are just out and just enjoying themselves a little bit. And at the same time, just to think that in the backdrop of these beautiful, fresh smelling days is some virus. And then you get onto the news and you see the reports out of New York City, which is only 20 miles away.
We're going to talk about that.
Everything is over, that they're building makeshift morgues.
Not true. They're building the morgues. There's just no one to put in them. Let me tell you something right now. I've been talking about this drip, drip, drip for a week. There has not even been, as of the information that I have, one New York hospital, including Elmhurst, where they're acting like those nurses that were wearing the plastic garbage bags as supposedly as their supplies. It came out that they were wearing personal protective equipment underneath those bags. That was a publicity stunt. I'm telling you right now, what's going on in New York is criminal. A report came out last night from Tucker. They have thousands of ventilators in storage right now that they're not even using.
I saw that. It came right out of the mouth of Andrew Cuomo.
Yes.
He admitted that there are stores all over from Long Island to New York to Albany, and
not one hospital is on a diversion plan right now. Not one.
Well, I do have one or two friends in these New York hospitals that say that they are getting swamped, at least in certain places, and that they're concerned about what the next couple of weeks are going to bring. And I see this. They say mid-April, we'll see what's really going to happen.
They've been saying that for weeks. Next week we'll know, and 2 weeks we'll know, and then it moves to 2 weeks, and it moves to 2 weeks. What I'm saying is there is nobody being diverted. So in other words, if you get a heart attack or something, if Elmhurst Hospital is full, they will say the dispatcher will divert you to another hospital in that system, New York Presbyterian, right? There's 25 hospitals in New York Presbyterian system. They'll divert. That's not happening because they're not. They might be getting overwhelmed with people who are sick. Nobody's saying that that's not true, but that doesn't mean they're being admitted. And that certainly doesn't mean they're in ICU on a ventilator.
Well, you want to, and listen, I'm like with everybody else. It's like one of those hurry up and wait situations. And I can't stand it. So especially with the time periods and the kind of cultural shifts that people are suggesting might be down the road from us, where we're going to have to go into these cycles of quarantine, you know, which is ridiculous because this is all in response to one virus. And then you say some people said 18 months we need to prepare. 18 months. That means that in 18 months, we're going to have to live through fall, winter, another flu season. And then come back around to where we are right now, and then another 6 months before we get away from COVID-19. There's going to be five other COVIDs since then.
I'm just telling you. I heard this is from somebody. This is when you flatten the curve, like New York is talking about. You don't. The social distancing and the quarantines and all that does not get rid of this virus. It slows the progression of it down. It just extends the pain, so to speak, so that everybody doesn't get it at once, so that everybody doesn't end up at the hospital at once. That's what they're trying to do here. They're not trying to eradicate this virus from the earth. They're just, do you understand what I mean?
Well, and let me also put this up here. This is the thing that makes me wonder. This is an archived video. Hold on here. Go to your Skype.
Okay.
Click on that. I don't know the date on this. It's archived. It's from MSN. Says it's from Lehigh Valley Live in Pennsylvania somewhere. Second corona patient dies in Lehigh Valley, 61 years old, and from Warren County. Go to the second paragraph.
I'll talk about this in a second too. And if it's okay with you, Frank, we may run a teeny bit long today because I do have a couple things that we need to get to, but this is just too interesting. Okay. Lehigh County Coroner Eric Minnick confirmed the patient died Friday night at St. Luke's University Hospital. He said the primary cause of the man's death was a head injury from a fall, but that the virus may have contributed to his death.
Now, when I read that, I'm saying to myself, well, how many how many slip and falls are being counted as virus deaths
all of
right
them
now.
All of them, especially in certain areas of the country.
And are we out of bounds to ask questions like that when everybody has a different prediction and different severities? And it's like we don't know our ass from our elbows. And we read things like this. And it's like, well, how much of this is really hype?
Yep.
And not to, like, once again, not to say that there isn't a virus going on. I don't know. It's just
I hate that we even have to put a disclaimer like that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, nobody's saying it's not bad. Like, what? Just screw it. Enough. Enough of it. Of course, if it's your family member that's sick or dies, of course, it's horrible. It's horrible. Nobody wants their family member to die. I don't want anybody's family member to die either. But in the grand scheme of the country, like,
You can't ignore that there are other forces at play here.
Right.
This is definitely being used to affect an election. It's definitely being used to do a lot of things right now. And you can tell that because at first it was the president where is the president? Is he playing golf? And now that he's doing daily reports, they don't even want to report on him because he's getting a bump in the ratings, mm-hmm. just like he got a bump in the ratings with impeachment. They wanted impeachment to go away. He's getting a bump. Everything that he does, he's anti-fragile.
Yeah. Here's a quick clip from before that someone just sent me on Twitter. Listen to this. This is New York State. When they had the first confirmed case in New York, which I'll be honest, Frank, we're both saying this virus has been around way longer. As a matter of fact, I think we caught on to the virus when we were almost all the way up the bell curve already. That's what I think happened, based on information I'm getting from people who know about these things. And that's all I'll say. Here we go.
Ebola, SARS, MERS, measles, right? So we have gone through this before.
And health officials compared those to the coronavirus.
Now, someone with measles is in the room. 10 people who come into that room an hour after that person left can get measles. This is totally different. This is not an illness that can be easily spread through casual contact.
And because of that, the health commissioner says you should be okay taking the subway or the bus, again, because it cannot be transmitted through casual.
This was New York. This was New York. Yeah. March 2nd.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez,
yep.
People like her, shaming everybody for staying away from restaurants, especially Asian restaurants. No panic. Go use the subways. Go out there. Hug people. You know, and now you have to be able to. I know that we have short memories, but geez, you have to be able to put these two and two together here. What is evolved about the president's position aside from urging calm and personal responsibility and throughout the entire thing?
Yep.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, I know. There's two more videos I want to play. One, there was a story that came out yesterday that made me sick to my stomach. It was from New York. It was all anonymous sources outside of one person who said that they are contemplating in hospitals right now, do not resuscitate procedures so that they don't expend gowns and supplies as they all change into them to try and resuscitate someone who is passing away from supposedly passing away from coronavirus. It was gross. Like, as if they have to even listen. So this is what Dr. Bricks says. Dr. Bricks is one of the people on President Trump's coronavirus task force that you're seeing speak a lot more than Fauci now, because Fauci is I just don't like the guy. And here we go.
Finally, the situation about ventilators. We were reassured and meeting with our colleagues in New York that there are still ICU beds remaining, and there's still significant over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been utilized yet. Please, for the reassurance of people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people talking about creating DNR situations, do not resuscitate situations for patients. There is no situation in the United States right now that warrants that kind of discussion. You can be thinking about it in a hospital. Certainly many hospitals talk about this on a daily basis. But to say that to the American people, to make the implication that when they need a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, or when they need that ventilator, it's not going to be there. We don't have an evidence of that right now. And it's our job collectively to assure the American people that it's our collective job to make sure that doesn't happen. Right now, you can see these cases are concentrated in highly urban areas. There are other parts of the states that have lots of ventilators and other parts of New York State that don't have any infections right now. So we can be creative. We can meet the need by being responsive. But there's no model right now, I mean, no reality on the ground where we can see that 60 to 70% of Americans are going to get infected in the next 8 to 12 weeks. I just want to be clear about that. So we're adapting to the reality on the ground. We're looking at the models of how they can inform. But we also are learning very clearly from South Korea and from Italy and from Spain. Just a final, because I know many of you will look up my numbers. The only people who are over really 1 in 1,000 cases are people that have very small populations like Monaco and Liechtenstein. So you will see a different number coming from when your population is really tiny. One case can put you over 1 to 1,000 or 2 to 1,000.
Thank God. Thank God somebody is speaking logically. There's one more clip from her that I want to play because it's important.
You see that? Look at you see that picture I just sent you?
Hold on.
Aside from him, Mr. Fauci, being such a sycophant for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Very, very cozy with people like Nancy Pelosi and.
Understand.
Mr. Waxman.
I understand. But to be fair, she has been really good. To be fair, she has even been attacked by the media. I think really she's starting to realize like, holy crap. Like there are some good people that have just been, you know what I'm saying? I don't
You're
know anything.
Bricks?
Yeah.
Blix.
I don't know anything about her at all. I have not researched her. I don't know what her connections are. I've seen her in a picture with somebody. You know, Frank, like a little while ago, people were sending pictures of me standing next to people out and saying that I was a horrible person because I was in a picture with someone, too. They did it to President Trump with the stripper, supposed strippers or whatever prostitutes that were getting arrested in Florida. I don't know. I don't know anything. All I'm saying is what I'm watching with my two eyes jives with what I know to be true. And she's being calming and she's calling them out here.
And then finally, the situation about ventilators. We were reassured and meeting with our colleagues in New York that there are still ICU beds remaining.
This is a different
and there's
conference.
Still significant over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been utilized yet. Please, for the reassurance of people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people
clip.
Talking about.
That was the wrong clip. I didn't mean to play that again. She called the media out one other time, too, and said, just stop doing this. You're lying to people, you know?
Well, yeah, well, that's not the only confusing thing. Here's one more confusing thing that I cannot make any sense of. When you have from coast to coast in certain cities, people saying, how do I reconcile these two things? You have mayors like Lori Lightfoot in Chicago saying, if we see you outside walking through parks and by the lake, we are going to arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we are going to start releasing thousands of prisoners from prisons,
right?
Which we control everyone who comes in and out of the building. We're going to release them to stop the spread of a virus.
Yeah. And they just took $100 billion for the Bureau of Prisons to stop this disease there. So what are they?
I mean,
they're never coming back. These people are never going back to jail. You understand?
I just don't understand the logic in saying that people who are free and who have not committed a crime that are outside in open air spaces like a public park may be thrown into jail. Meanwhile, you're letting people out of jail into the public where they can get coronavirus because you want to prevent coronavirus. I would think that if you are a prison warden, you have every power imaginable to stop people from coming and going from a prison. So I don't know. I can't reconcile the two mindsets.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm trying to work on a piece that I've been trying to work on for a week now to get out some information about what's going on, especially in New York, to folks, to kind of maybe make them understand a little bit better why the motivation behind all the nonsense that's going on. Not that there aren't a ridiculous amount of cases in New York, not that there aren't people going to the hospital, not any of that. Just that it is not what they're making it seem. And there are propaganda videos coming out of New York now of nurses and doctors in the hospital unable to use gloves and masks. And it's just not true. It's just not true. I don't know what else to say. Anyway, and we're going to be we indicted the president of Venezuela.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we indicted the president of Venezuela.
By the way.
I don't know. And I saw some people doing digging on that there, too, to see that there's actually a Fusion GPS link between some one or two of the known associates in this situation. But then again, we know Fusion GPS was some of their through with Lee Smith's book. They were very active in South America. That's where they wet their beaks.
Yes, that's where a lot of people. And it's interesting to me that Barr is announcing the arrest or the indictment anyway. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, see, those are the things that I can't wait to get back around to.
I know.
Because we haven't spoken about any of the where's aside from these tweets, aside from random tweets and people making sure that their Twitter timelines are updated. What, you know, all eyes are not on people like Adam Schiff who have been, you know, where they were everyday pieces of our lives for months.
Let's say I put a piece about Adam Schiff up yesterday from Daniel. That went up on uncoverdc.com. Its title is Adam Schiff, Shove It. It's a really good piece about the timeline of stuff, but you're right. And, you know, James Comey tweeted something early this morning. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, go to his timeline.
All right. Here we go. Let's see here.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll end after your comment on that.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. Shave your face, you freak. Mm-hmm. What is this? This smiling? Oh, God.
Read what he says.
Unsure how to use Twitter now. Don't know enough to tweet about COVID-19. Don't want to tweet about Trump. Instead, I want to try to spread things useful, comforting, or distracting rather than contagious during a really hard time. Today, I'll start with my social distance selfie. James, you're not a pop culture sensation. You're not an author. You're nobody. You're a former FBI director. Do any of them understand how really suspicious it is that these former FBI and CIA directors are constantly scratching and clawing to try to endear themselves to the public?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, go away. Like this guy is a, like, he's an actor or a.
Ryan Reynolds did something really funny.
Thank you, Prime Minister Trudeau. We need to work together to flatten the curve and fight off COVID-19. I think in times of crisis, I think we all know that it's the celebrities that we count on most. They're the ones who are going to get us through this. Right after healthcare workers, of course, first responders, people who work in essential services, ping pong players, mannequins. They're great. Childhood imaginary friends. Sure, like 400 other types of people. Look, stay at home, practice social distancing, wash your hands. We are going to get through this thing. We're going to get through this thing together. And I'd like to nominate these three great Canadians to spread the word. Mr. Stephen Page, Constable Terry Reynolds of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and Mr. Seth Rogen of the Point Grey Rogans.
What?
He
wasn't one of the because I never was able to actually watch through the entire John Lennon Imagine cover because it was too cringy. He wasn't in that, was he?
No, okay. No. He is so funny. I really like him.
At least he wasn't in that. I generally tend to like him too. And now I'll get an email that he's part of some cult.
Yeah, and, I know. Someone will send us.
It's like every balloon gets popped.
I know. Everybody that I had one last hope for.
Do you know that he was part of a satanic sacrifice last year? Blah, blah, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Frank, I quoted Winston Churchill yesterday because I like the quote. Okay.
Got to watch out for Winston Churchill quotes.
I know. I liked the quote, though. Hold on. Somebody emailed me and said he was like a homicidal maniac or something. And I don't know anything like that. But I just like the quote that I shared, which I'm still I tweet way too much. Oh, the truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it. Ignorance may deride it. But in the end, there it is. Thank you, Lindsay. This is Winston Churchill. And it's true. So I shared it.
Yep.
Anyway, you've been listening.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say goodbye.
Oh, so the Dark to Light podcast with?
Spring Smelling Day, Val.
And beans.
That's it.
You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com and iHeartRadio. We will see you on Monday.
See ya.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.